Morning Watch, Romans Week 3, Romans 9 through Romans 12. Friday, related verses. Romans 12, 1 through 8. I exhort you, therefore, brothers, through the compassions of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, well pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be fashioned according to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, and well-pleasing, and perfect. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to be sober-minded, as God has apportioned to each a measure of faith. For just as in one body we have many members, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. And having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or service, let us be faithful in that service, or he who teaches, in that teaching, or he who exhorts, in that exhortation, he who gives, in simplicity, he who leads, in diligence, he who shows mercy, in cheerfulness. Related reading. Why did Paul write the book of Romans? He did not write merely for justification, sanctification, or even for glorification. Romans was written ultimately and consummately for the church life. The consummation of the book of Romans is the church. Praise the Lord that Paul was so strong and rich in the matter of the church that he took five chapters to emphasize it. He took five chapters to cover the church life in a wonderful way. In Romans, Paul does not present the church life in a doctrinal way, but in a very experiential and practical way. As we come to Romans 15 and 16, we shall see that Paul describes and presents the churches in the way of experience and practice, not in the way of doctrine. If you fail to probe into the depths of Romans 12 through 16, you will consider these five chapters merely to be chapters filled with exhortations and teachings concerning the behavior of Christians. If you think this way, it proves that you still hold a natural concept in understanding this portion of the Bible. We should not understand the Holy Word according to our natural concept. Most of the Christian teachers say that Romans 12 through 16 describes the behavior of believers. They say that after we are saved, we need to exhibit good Christian behavior. I must admit that when I conducted a thorough study of Romans more than 20 years ago with almost 1,000 people, I still clung to this natural concept. In that study, I also said that Romans 12 through 16 depicts the behavior of believers. It was not until recent years that after studying Romans again and again, I say to myself, man, how natural you were in understanding the holy divine revelation. Apparently, the last five chapters of Romans describes the behavior of Christians. However, what is the main item, the main aspect of a believer's behavior? It is the church life. The church life, the body life, is the main structure of a Christian's behavior. After he has been saved, a believer's behavior is primarily concerned with the church life. Do you realize that our church life is 90% of our living? We have even coined a new word, churching. Day after day, we are churching. We are churching people. I can testify to you that I am churching day and night. We spend a great deal of time, money, and energy that we may continue churching. We do not care for time, the cost, or the energy. We only care for the church. We are churching all the time. The Apostle Paul held this concept of churching when he wrote the book of Romans. He did not care only for so-called behavior. His main concern was the church life. We need to practice the processed life, which is unfolded in the section on sanctification in chapters 5 through 8 in the church life, and for this we need transformation. Therefore, the transformation in life is for the practice of life, and the practice of life is conducted mainly in the church life. Before we consider chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, I want to give a definition of transformation. Transformation is a good word. In Greek, this word includes the meaning of change, to have a change. Thus, the King James Version rendered this word in 2 Corinthians 3:18 as changed instead of transformed. However, the King James Version translated the same Greek word as transformed in Romans 12:2. To render the Greek as changed is very inadequate. Transformation does not merely denote a change. It means that a substance is changed both in nature and in form. In English, the words transformed or transformation also mean a change in both nature and form. This type of change is a metabolic change. It is not just an outward change, but a change in inward constitution as well as an external form. This change occurs by the process of metabolism. In the process of metabolism, an organic element filled with vitamins comes into our being and produces a chemical change in our organic life. This chemical reaction changes the constitution of our being from one form into another. This is transformation. Suppose that a person has a very pale complexion, and that someone else, wishing to change his colorless complexion, applies some coloring to his skin. This no doubt produces an outward change, but it is not an organic change, a change in life. How then can a person truly have a colorful face? By daily absorbing into his body healthy foods with the necessary organic elements. Because your body is a living organism, when an organic substance enters into it, a chemical compound is formed organically by the process of metabolism. Gradually, this inward process will change the coloration of your face. This change is not outward. It is a change from within, a change resulting from the process of metabolism. According to the Bible, this metabolic change is termed transformation. In the process of transformation, the life of Christ is added to our being. When his life, which is organic and filled with vitamins, permeates our being, a spiritual chemical compound is formed. This changes our constitution both in nature and in form. This is transformation. It is not outward correction or external adjustment. It is absolutely an inward metabolic change in our organic element, a change in life and with life by the Lord's Spirit. In the process of transformation, the divine element is wrought into us. If we keep in mind this proper understanding of transformation, as we approach Romans 12 through 16, we realize that this portion of the word is altogether different from what our natural concept would lead us to believe it is. To offer ourselves to God as a living sacrifice is our most reasonable service. The words present and sacrifice mentioned above indicate that the reasonable service is a priestly service. If we have a sober mind and if we intend to be reasonable, fair, and logical, then we certainly must have the church life. People who do not like to have the church life are the most foolish people. To practice anything other than the church life is foolish, but to give up everything for the church life is logical and reasonable. Nothing is more reasonable than churching. To spend $2 on a worldly item or amusement is foolish, but to spend $2 million on the church life is reasonable. If I had 100 lives, I would give them all for the church life. However, I would not give even the smallest fraction of my life to the worldly things, for to do that would be stupid. What a reasonable service it is to give ourselves to the church life. I can testify that I have been in the Lord's work for more than 40 years, and that I do not have the slightest regret about it. Whenever I think about the church, I am excited. Every time I think about the church life and about my ministry for the church life, I am in the heavens. What a reasonable service it is. When Paul began to speak about the church life, he implored the believers to present their bodies because as human beings, nothing is more real and practical than our body. If your body is not in the church life, please do not say how much you yourselves are for the church life. In the past years, many people have said to me, "Brother, I stand with you because the burden of my business is so heavy I cannot be in the church life, but I am one with what you are doing." Others have said, "I'm too tired to attend the meeting. You go to the meeting and I'll stay home and pray for you. I can't go to the meeting physically because I'm so tired, but my heart and spirit will be there with you." These words sound pleasant, but they are a deceit. We must realize that we are in our bodies. Where our bodies are, we are. Suppose that all the saints should say that they are too tired to attend the meeting. What would happen to the meeting? Thus, Paul begged the brothers to present their bodies. If you mean business for the Lord's purpose, you need to present your body. It is good for you to come to the meeting, even if you sleep through most of it. It is better to come to a meeting and sleep than not to come at all. You may attend a meeting and sleep through it all except for the last few minutes. Perhaps during the last 5 minutes, you will be inspired and receive a great help. I am familiar with a number of cases in which this has happened.